Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa. I'm Colin Burzak, and for those of you who don't recognize my voice, I'm an intern here at KHOI from Iowa State. Throughout the summer, I plan to help produce segments right here on Local Talk. Today, the day before Iowa primary elections, we bring you a recap of some of the discussion Cal Halliburton had with Iowa's gubernatorial candidates, who will be running in tomorrow's primaries. Cal interviewed all of the candidates during these past few weeks. Here are highlights of Candidates with Cal.
Ms. Kathy Glasson is a candidate for governor of Iowa. Ms. Glasson grew up in Spencer in northwest Iowa. Her dad was a truck driver and her mom worked behind a counter at the Sears and Roebuck catalog store. She graduated from Spencer High School and received her nursing degree from the University of Iowa. Glasson is president of SEIU Local 199, representing thousands of nurses, healthcare workers, and school support employees across Iowa. She's a registered nurse who worked in the intensive care unit at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, where she led the effort to unionize her fellow nurses 18 years ago. She serves on the executive board of the 2 million member Service Employees International Union and has helped lead efforts to organize nurses and other hospital workers across the nation. Kathy lives in Coralville, Iowa with her husband Matt, a labor lawyer and educator, and is a proud mother and grandmother. Kathy, would you tell us something about yourself that we won't find on your webpage or with an internet search?
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much for that introduction. I think people probably don't know that I was a single mother and raised my daughter and understand the struggles that everyday Iowans are going through right now with low wages, child care costs that are like $900 a month. I understand the struggle of everyday Iowans out there, and we sure have those.
A number of people have indicated some concern about our water quality. What can you do about that?
In this campaign, I came out very early in the campaign saying that Iowans deserve clean water. Clean water should be the birthright of every Iowan. And we do have 750 impaired and polluted waterways in our state. That's nearly half of our waterways are polluted. I came out bold and stand to this very day in this very minute saying we need a moratorium. I will fight for a moratorium on the growth of factory farms until fewer than 100 waterways in this state are polluted. And then we need to fully fund the DNR to make sure that those huge confinement feeding operations and the waste management, they're held accountable so that we have enough investigators and regulators making sure that those huge operations are complying with laws and regulations to keep our waterways clean. And when they violate it, we need stricter fines and penalties on those huge corporate agribusiness that have taken over the land. A lot of our farmland in Iowa, and fully fund DNR and make sure our water gets cleaned up and make them pay for the pollution they cause, not the taxpayers.
One of the things that's been of great issue lately has been the Medicaid and mental health situation in Iowa. Is there anything you can do to help that?
Oh, well, I'm a registered nurse, and I've seen this firsthand that the for-profit insurance, health insurance industry will always, always put profits over patients and people every single time. That's how they make their money, is by denying care. Medicaid privatization in the state of Iowa is a perfect example of why we need to get the for-profit insurance industry out of our health care. It has been a disaster from the get-go. Patients aren't getting the care they need, and providers are not being paid for the services that they're providing. The first thing I'll do as governor, and a priority in my administration, will be to reverse the privatization of Medicaid. That's the first step. But I'm a candidate that believes that that's not good enough. We actually need to lead on passing a universal health care plan, and I support Medicare on the federal level, but I don't know that we can count on the politicians in Washington, D.C. to do that. So I, as governor, stand on passing a universal single-payer plan right here in Iowa to cover every Iowan, including reproductive and mental health services. Everybody in, nobody left out. Iowa will lead the way when I'm governor of the state of Iowa. We absolutely can do this, and it will vastly lower costs for healthcare for Iowans versus what they're paying now. For example, I talked to a woman who told me that her premiums just for a single plan, $1,100 a month. That is not affordable health care. It limits the ability for them to live a good economic life and be able to afford the other things that they want to buy and help our economy. So we absolutely need a universal single payer plan, and we can't not afford to do this, honestly, and we need to make that happen.
Illegal drugs, of course, are always a problem. On the other hand, we have a big problem with prescription drugs right now. Is there something the state can do about that?
Yes, absolutely. And as a registered nurse, I know part of the problem with the infusion of the highly narcotic medications that are being pumped in our communities come from major pharmaceutical companies that know that those medications were extremely addictive. And actually now the studies are showing that they're not even that effective in reducing pain. I think, and I support that the Iowa Attorney General's office is involved in any investigation into the big pharmaceutical companies that actually intentionally sold these as a safe option for people's pain control. And Iowa needs to be part of that. And as governor, I support that. The opioid crisis, which is extremely dangerous, and we've seen death rates and overdoses in the state of Iowa increase. We absolutely can take steps to prevent that. And one of those things is we have a prescription drug monitoring program that's in place right now in Iowa. We've had that for a while. The problem is that only 43% of prescribers participate. I believe we need to make sure that prescribers of these highly addictive medications actually have to enter into the prescription drug monitoring program. It needs to be mandated. The program itself needs to be updated so it's user-friendly. It's not at this point, so we need to invest in that. We also need to make sure that we have Narcan, which is the antagonist to opioids and narcotics, so more readily available. I've talked to pharmacists and healthcare providers that very few folks are accessing Narcan to save people's lives. And then we need to pass Good Samaritan laws, which mean if you're with someone that has an overdose of a narcotic, for example, and you're involved with that, you aren't going to be criminally charged for reporting and saving someone else's life. So we need to pass Good Samaritan laws. And I support harm reduction programs, needle exchange programs, being able to return your narcotics, and without, you know, without being pulled aside and charged with having narcotics. So I just think there are much smarter steps we can take as Iowans to save lives and have a common sense approach to making sure people are healthier.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. It's been our pleasure to be talking with Ms. Kathy Glasson, a Democratic Party nomination candidate for governor of Iowa.
Great.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Cal, for having me. It was really great.
Marco Battaglia is running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Libertarian Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Mr. Battaglia was born, raised, and educated in Iowa. He graduated from Hoover High School and the University of Northern Iowa. Marco earned a bachelor's degree in communications and also studied political science and the Italian language. Marco has radio experience from working with Iowa Public Radio for 2 years and calls himself a jack of all trades, having professional experience in banking, insurance, and home mortgages. He currently writes for the Iowa Free Press and is a bassist for bands Dark Mirror, Speed Drum, and The Sleepover. He has been an active member of the State and National Libertarian Party for 5 years. Marco was a nominating delegate to the last national convention and has worked for a number of state and national political campaigns. Marco, tell our listeners something about yourself that they'll not find on your website or with a search engine.
My mother actually came over via the Ellis Island route on a boat when she was very young, when she was a toddler. Her family brought her here from Italy. She was born in Modena in northern Italy. A couple of our family members came into Iowa and made a home in Madrid, Iowa. And then some of them went to Canada. And then there's some that are still in Italy. The nitrates, that's another big one. I think that this definitely sets me apart from the field. I'm opposed to the renewable fuel standard that's, you know, our governor goes to Washington, D.C. to make sure that we're continuing to subsidize corn ethanol. And I think that science has proven that it is ineffective as far as being positive for the environment and that it's really one of the failed biofuels. I'm a big believer in biofuel and competing alternative energy, working towards clean energy, but I think the subsidies get in the way of the market in terms of actually getting us there quicker is where I come from. Right now, so much of that corn that we plant goes to ethanol. And if you go to the corn producer's website, they'll tell you, I believe it's 60-some% is going to specifically ethanol. And that's a lot of monoculture that we would back away from if we didn't prop up that market. We'd have more varied fruits and vegetables. We'd have perennials. We'd have cover crops. Hemp is a big one. My whole life, I have been working to get us able to put hemp in our soil if we want to. And that's happening, I think, finally, federally. And the party that I'm a part of has been working for that since 1971. So it's really good to see some momentum there. I would be honored to be a part of helping that come to pass in Iowa. And that can actually act as a cover crop, which can drastically help if utilized in a sustainable manner that can help with the nitrate issue as well. I call it agricultural freedom myself, but it encompasses really a lot of things. That's the nitrate issue.
Well, there are a few other issues folks have been talking about, minimum wage needing a boost. Do you have a position on that?
I am actually concerned that Iowa minimum wage is seven-some dollars, and I truly feel as if very few employers would get away with paying someone that kind of wage if there wasn't a law telling them they could. So I'm almost more concerned that it's holding us back. And even the rates that they're attempting to raise the wages, I see a struggle even by 2022. If it was in the ballpark of $15-$17, I think we actually have to take a different approach and address inflation, address sound currency. I think we can improve the standard of living if we get Iowa on the forefront of sound economic policy and actually work on inflation as opposed to a wage. I'm concerned that a minimum wage is actually holding a lot of people back from making more money.
So would you repeal the minimum wage?
I would support that idea, certainly.
It's been our pleasure to be talking to Marco Battaglia, who's running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Libertarian Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Thank you very much, Marco.
Thanks for talking to me, and thanks for doing what you're doing. I love radio. It's a passion of mine. And, I hope we can keep it going in Iowa for as long as I'm around and for my son's lifetime.
Mr. John Norris is running in the primary election for the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. John is a fifth-generation Iowan, raised on a Montgomery County family farm that his great-great-grandparents settled in 1881. Educated at University of Iowa College of Law, John worked for Tom Harkin and then became the state director of the Iowa Farm Unity Coalition, while also owning and operating the Old Hotel restaurant in Greenfield. Leonard Boswell hired John to run his first campaign for Congress and serve as his first chief of staff in Congress. John then chaired the Iowa Democratic Party during Governor Vilsack's first term and was then appointed as governor's chief of staff. John coordinated the hiring of Vilsack's first cabinet and staff, and he chaired the governor's electric restructuring committee, writing legislation that resulted in Iowa's wind energy industry. Vilsack later appointed John to chair the Iowa Utilities Board, and the U.S. Secretary Vilsack appointed him chief of staff at the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. John was appointed by President Obama to serve as a commissioner on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and later appointed him to represent the United States on agricultural policy at the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization and World Food Program in Rome, Italy. After returning to Iowa, John is co-owner of the State Public Policy Group. He and his wife Jackie live in Des Moines with their three sons. John,
30 years ago, we used to talk about people cheating or corporations cheating on their taxes. Now they don't have to cheat anymore. They just hire good lobbyists and get laws passed that get some tax breaks. Mm-hmm. And so we've eroded hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue in just the last 5 years in Iowa through special tax credits and deductions and giveaways that have eroded our capacity to invest in education, public education, mental health services, cleaning up our environment.
In order to tax folks, they need to make money.
Government is, in some respects, different than business, but in some respects, like business. Mm-hmm. Revenue matters. Revenue matters for business. Mm-hmm. Revenue matters for government. All governments, I think, should be extremely responsible and cognizant of managing taxpayers' money effectively and that it's spent efficiently. But you have to have sufficient revenues if you're going to have a strong public education system, mm-hmm. if you're going to have mental health services, if we're going to invest in worker training. So many of these businesses I talk to across Iowa, their biggest challenge is finding workers. They literally are turning down orders because they can't find the workforce. And they're here paying taxes. But our economic development strategy is to lure out-of-state businesses here with tax cuts, which undermines our capacity to invest in education for our workforce, for those businesses who are here and want to grow. And we need them to grow for our economy to continue. But we're not building the capacity to do that because of this special giveaways to lure out-of-state businesses here. I think we should focus on investing in Iowa businesses and our Iowa workforce.
Well, we have 8,000 ponds of poo all over the state of Iowa. And, you know, we use some of it by applying it on the land, but there's a lot of runoff. It gets into rivers and streams and eventually into aquifers.
No, this is a problem we have to address. The misapplication of animal waste from our confined feeding operations that's now, as you say, getting into our underground aquifers, E. coli showing up in our lakes and rivers and streams. And that's, I think, detrimental to our future. And so I think we have to make the producers responsible, though, for the handling of that waste. And I've called for a moratorium on those animal confining feeding operations until we have real enforceable environmental standards in place. We raised last year in Iowa about 23 million hogs. That's the equivalent of the waste of about 130 million human beings. That's a lot of waste to deal with. Now, I think until we get environmental standards in place, we have to halt further expansion and really assess what is our capacity. What is the capacity of the land to absorb if it's applied appropriately? I'm concerned that we're going to become a big waste pool of hog poop if we don't get our arms around this. It's also fractured our sense of community. When I think of Iowa and our values, community values and caring for each other is so fundamental. Mm-hmm. This is really driving wedges between rural communities because of the inability of someone to protect their value of their land and their quality of life from when a confinement operation goes in next door. Mm-hmm. And that's causing a lot of strife that we have to be mindful of if we're going to really stay true to those values.
John is running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor. Thank you very much. Dr. Andy McGuire is running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Andy McGuire was born and raised in Waterloo. Her parents always said, if you see a problem, be the solution. McGuire earned her medical degree from Creighton University Medical School, where she also met and married her husband, Dan. She then conducted breast cancer research at Washington University in St. Louis. After working several years in nuclear medicine, Andy, Dan, and their three children moved back to Iowa, where their four daughters were born. In Des Moines, Andy worked at the Veterans Hospital. She received her master's degree in business administration and became a chief medical officer, devoting her time to the business end of medicine, focusing on immunizations, disease management, and preventive and prenatal care. Andy was elected chair of the Iowa Democratic Party and served from 2014 to 2016. Andy McGuire is running for governor, she says, because she understands the struggles faced by Iowans who are working hard to get ahead, those working families. Andy and Dan reside in Des Moines. Andy, we've got a number of immigrants in this state. What do you come across there?
You know, I think back to Robert Ray. You know, it was a time when I was growing up in this state, and we brought back what we called the boat people at the time. And we were a welcoming state because those people needed help. And I would want to be that welcoming state. And I'll tell you, with the policies that have come out recently, this anti-sanctuary city and just putting up really a sign in front of Iowa that says, you're not welcome, that's not how you're a welcoming state. I went to Denison recently. So they have 27% Hispanic population. They are a vibrant community. They are doing great. That's what we need to be. We need to be a welcoming state that says, please come. And they want the American dream, just like all of us. They want to do well for their families and raise their kids. That's what we need in Iowa. We need more people like that. And yet, they tell me in Denison, people are afraid because of the way our government is being right now. It's not welcoming. And so, as your governor, I would always be a welcoming state and want to have more people that might not look just like us, but they want the same things we want.
There's also an economic benefit, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, we've been trailing along at 3 million for a long time in Iowa. We need to grow a little. And the only way we're going to grow and have the people we need, if you go out in all over Iowa like I have, there are help wanted signs everywhere. We have work that needs to be done, and we need to tap into anyone who wants to come here and work hard. We need to tap into them. Our own, Iowans that come here, but people from other countries, from other states, we need to welcome them in this state. Mm-hmm. And we're doing that in many populations, but our government right now is certainly not.
Well, there are some additional issues as well, those that we've identified so far. One of them is water quality. And what can we do about that?
Well, first we have to do something about that. We've gotten at these loggerheads of it's your fault, it's my fault, it's somebody else's fault. That's what we can't do. We got to get everybody sitting at the table, including the people who are responsible for those areas. And we got to say, everybody at the table, we got to know where we are. I mean, as a scientist, you got to know where you are. So you measure where you are, and we're doing that somewhat. I know sometimes the Republicans don't even want to measure right now. So we got to measure and know where we are. Then we got to know, where do we want to go? I'm pretty sure your audience wants clean water. So get everybody at the table, not some people, everybody at the table, and say, okay, what are the metrics and the accountability we need to get to that goal? What's the time frame? Set it up, and you've got to have some teeth in that. But it's got to be everybody at the table. It can't be somebody's, one person's problem, another person's problem. We all want this to happen. We've got to get to solutions, and we're not doing that right now. That's really important. If I make it your fault, then you're going to say I'm not going to do things. I think we've got to get to solutions that we're an ag state. Got to get to those solutions. One of the solutions I also think that's not happening enough, and it has to do with right here, is I don't think we're incenting the research to help with this. Instead, I think we're actually, I hate to say it, but sort of putting a damper on that research. We should have research into how we can be an ag state and do the things we need to do for our economy and have clean water right next door. Those are the things that I have great faith in our region's universities and our community colleges, and I think they can come up with that answer, and I'd even incent that to say, come up with the answer. Let's come up with some ideas, and let's make this work, because we've got to have clean water, and we've got to continue to be an ag state.
Well, is that the thing that you're hearing the most of when you travel the state?
It is, and it comes down to usually health care. Mental health in particular, substance abuse and addiction, you know, we're 50th in mental health beds in Iowa. That's not taking care of our citizens. 50th, not something we'd be proud of. 47th in mental health providers. Think about that. There's nobody to take care of people, and there's no beds to put them in if we need to. So what I hear about from sheriffs all over the state is that they've become our first line mental health providers. And honestly, you know, thank God they keep people safe, but the only options they have is to take them to emergency rooms or to jail. And those are two of the worst places and most expensive places for somebody who's in crisis. Think if we took the money we're already spending and we put it into community mental health so we could actually impact people's lives before they get into crisis. That's what I'd like to work on. And that's what I hear a lot, that people know of a friend or family member. I'm going to guess your listeners know of a friend or family member that's struggling with mental health struggles, and we do not have the resources available for them. You know, I also think about the stigma. Now think about it. If you had a broken leg or diabetes, we would immediately, you know, get you help, get you medical help. But if you have a mental illness or substance abuse problem, we're likely to put you in jail. That's not treating that as an illness, and we have to destigmatize it and start to treat it as the illness it is. And as a doctor, that's where I go.
It's our pleasure to have been talking with Dr. Andy McGuire. Dr. McGuire is running in the primary election to be held June 5th. For the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
If you have just joined us, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Colin Burzak. Today, the day before Iowa primary elections, we bring you a recap of some of the discussions Cal Halliburton had with Iowa's gubernatorial candidates, who will be running in tomorrow's primaries. Cal interviewed all of the candidates during the past few weeks. Here are highlights of Candidates with Cal.
Mr. Jake Porter is running in the primary election for the Libertarian Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Jake was born in 1988 in Missouri. After living in a number of small towns, he graduated from high school at Lineville Clio Community High School in Iowa. Jake has an associate's degree and bachelor's degree in business administration from AIB College of Business. After joining the Libertarian Party of Iowa, Jake worked his way up from volunteer to chief of staff managing national campaign operations. He then managed Bob Barr's Iowa organization in his run for president. Following a stint as retail store manager, Jake entered the race for Iowa Secretary of State in 2010 and again in 2014. After the election, Porter didn't stop. He ended a job with Yahoo and became a self-employed business consultant. Jake and his colleagues built an organization that gave the Libertarian Party major party status in 2016, and in early 2017, he took an interim executive director job with the Libertarian Party of Iowa. Jake resigned that post and is now running as a major party candidate for governor of Iowa in the 2018 election. Jake, tell us something about you that we won't find on the internet or on your website.
Well, I don't like to mention it, but I do work in Omaha primarily, so that there can cause a little bit of controversy. No, I was retail store manager for Dollar General. Worked at Walmart. I've had a variety of retail jobs, and I did that off and on, you know, to keep in shape and everything. But I've now ended that so I can focus on the campaign. But that's instead of going to a gym like some people, I've done retail, you know, throwing trucks, running freight, you know, things like that.
I'm going to shift gears and look at one of those things. Water quality has been something that a lot of folks have talked about. We've got 8,000 pools of poo all around the state with our over 8,000 confined animal feeding operations. That produces the equivalent of about 100 million people in population. What can we do about that?
Yeah, absolutely. If you talk to people from a lot of third world countries, bottled water, they have to have it, because if they don't, be very bad if they drink the water. That's where we're going to end up at, and that's not anything that any Iowan wants, rural Iowan, urban Iowan. No, it doesn't benefit anyone in this state. It doesn't benefit people in other states. So you have a right to do what you wish with your own land. You don't have the right to pollute and cause problems for anyone else. And a lot of this, I think, comes back to the government has propped up big corporations, and they've often given the benefits to big corporations, too. And if you're causing pollution, if you're causing issues, that, yes, you should have to pay to clean it up. You shouldn't be allowed just to pollute at will just to make a higher profit for yourself.
So you're saying that in order to deal with those confined animal operations and the waste they produce, that we ought to hold the folks who operate them accountable for that amount of waste and what's happening to the environment as a result of it.
Yes. You have a right to do what you want, but you do not have a right to violate my rights and the rights of everyone else by polluting, by causing issues that's going to cost the whole state money and also going to impact our health pretty negatively at some point.
Mm-hmm. What are specific things we can do about the health care situation in Iowa?
Well, the privatization of Medicaid, there are people who think, oh, this is going to cut costs. Well, ultimately it doesn't, because the state of Iowa, they give, you know, contracts to basically big corporate interest at this point to take these over. It becomes cronyism, and then whenever they can't function, the state's going to bail them out. So it obviously is not going to save us any cost. It's only going to make the quality go down. It was a bad idea to begin with. We could reverse that, go back the way it was before, and then look for improvements. Now, as far as, you know, the mental health facilities, they never should have been closed. What this has done, this has been a drain on local resources, because it's not that the state's still not paying for this. It just now gets shifted over to things like our court systems. The local sheriff's offices now have to, and they have to travel farther to take people, to transport people. This is a cost that maybe the state's not paying, but our local communities, particularly in rural Iowa, that are suffering and dying, continuously, they're being hurt really bad by this. Our rural communities are.
I think you mentioned something about education.
I may have. Education's always a big, important thing. I've actually asked a retired school teacher, if I win the primary, to be my lieutenant governor running mate, Lynn Gentry, out of Calhoun County. Education's pretty important. There's a lot of things that we can do. I think I'd mentioned there's things in the education budget that we could cut, because they have nothing to do with education. There's a lot of that, a lot of increased spending that we've had. You know, we used to be the number one in the nation for as far as education. Now we've dropped down to around 31. It's not good, and we've done it. We've increased spending, but we've not kept up. And a lot of that's we've increased spending on things like administration. We've taken, you know, control over what the local school districts were teaching and gave that in the hands of bureaucrats who probably don't know anything about educating kids. I don't claim to be a teacher or know what we need to teach, but there are people out there that do, and I would rather them make those decisions at the local level than someone uneducated on this, making the decisions that I know what's best for the local school districts when I obviously don't.
It's been our pleasure to be talking with Mr. Jake Porter, who's running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Libertarian Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Thank you very much, Jake.
Thanks for having me on.
Mr. Ross Wilburn is running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Mr. Wilburn grew up in Davenport, Iowa, where he graduated from Davenport Central High School. He holds a bachelor's and master's degrees from the University of Iowa School of Social Work. He worked for 6 years as Director of Equity for the Iowa City Community School District, 8 years as Executive Director of the Crisis Center of Johnson County, and 9 years as Program Coordinator for United Action for Youth in Johnson County. He also was an instructor at the University of Iowa. Wilburn served 12 years on the City Council in Iowa City and 2 years as mayor. He now lives in Ames and is the diversity officer and associate program director of community and economic development for Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. He's a veteran of the Iowa Army National Guard. Ross, could you tell our listeners something about yourself that they'll not find on your website or with a search engine?
Very good. First, let me say you did your homework. That was probably the most thorough introduction I've heard since I've been out of the campaign trail. A couple things that they wouldn't know about me. These are more personal things. One is that I play the clarinet. I'm a musician. So I've been playing the clarinet since about 1974, 73. Mm-hmm. Did the Allstate Music thing. So the first times I was in Ames, Iowa was for the Allstate Music Festival. I was a three-year Allstater. And so I also play guitar, a little bit of guitar. But I think some folks will know that I'm a pretty avid cyclist. I really enjoy riding.
One of the difficulties I think we're having with working with politics in Iowa is the huge amount of money that's coming into this state from out of state.
Right.
And, some folks talk about restricting that. Do you have any thought about that?
In terms of like campaign contribution, is that what you're interested?
Well, whatever you might consider. I don't know if you've considered that.
Mm-hmm. Well, as it relates to influencing elections, mm-hmm. then we need to get folks elected to Washington, D.C., representing us, our representatives and our senator. But as a governor, I would try and press for that national campaign finance reform.
Well, some states do limit campaign contributions to mm-hmm. state elections.
That's true.
Whereas we do not.
Yeah,
now.
That's right. And I would certainly take a look at putting some campaign finance reform, what we're able to do here locally in terms of the like you're saying, for governor, it's unlimited.
You mentioned water quality.
Yes.
And I characterize some of our situation as the fact that we have 8,000 pools of poo spread all over, especially
right.
north central Iowa. And that, of course, leaks into our groundwater and is leaking into our aquifers.
Yes.
What would you do about that?
We need to redo the master matrix, which helps determine where the placement of some of those the larger hog confinement facilities. That's part of this big equation, but a major part, just like you talked, the fields of poo. We need to staff the Department of Natural Resources, so part of the budget, staff them at a level that they can enforce the new matrix once it's done, and give the director to the Department of Natural Resources that you will enforce that. So that's part of what we can do. I think we can hold that as a piece of leverage. It's something if we do something like put some type of moratorium on there, that would likely end up in some type of litigation. But let's start by staffing DNR. Let's start by redoing the master matrix. Let's do enforcement. And then if we end up in court with it and needing to do some type of moratorium, that would be something to look at. But again, these are some of those larger hog confinements. Some of the owners are out of state. They're not some of the smaller local farmers that we're talking about that are contributing to this. I think the other thing that we can do is not ignore monitoring water, that's our waterways. I mean, that was something that was done, don't fund it. And so we'll ignore the issue. And Iowans, we face the issues and problems that we have. And that's part of being Iowa too, is let's take a serious look at the issues. Let's try and put policy. And if it involves funding, then fund areas that are going to keep the environment clean, that are going to provide those good jobs and opportunity for us. Those are a couple things, but funding the Leopold Center, critical services that are provided in terms of sustainable agriculture, cover crops, and those types of things. Again, it's putting the things in place that are going to benefit the state of Iowa.
It's our pleasure today to have been talking with Ross Wilburn. Mr. Wilburn is running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Thank you very much, Ross, for being with us.
Great to be here. Pleasure.
Mr. Fred Hubble is running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Mr. Hubble has deep Iowa roots. The Hubble family settled in Iowa in the middle 1800s and founded some of early Iowa's most successful businesses. Fred met his wife Charlotte in law school at the University of Iowa. He went on to lead some of Iowa's largest businesses, employing thousands of Iowans. He served as chairman of Yonkers, president of Equitable of Iowa Life Insurance Company, several executive positions with the ING Group, and lead director of Voya Financial. He served as interim director of the Iowa Department of Economic Development when he was asked to clean up the film tax credit scandal. Fred Hubble has a history of public service in Iowa. He's been a longtime supporter and volunteer with organizations such as United Way, Planned Parenthood, Urban Dreams, Simpson College, Broadlawns Medical Center, Iowa Environmental Council, and Iowa's Water and Land Legacy. Fred and Charlotte have three children and three grandchildren. Mr. Hubble, please tell our listeners something about yourself they'll not find on your website or with a search engine.
Thank you for the very thorough introduction. I appreciate that. You know, one of the things I like to do is participate in RAGBRAI. I've been on six or seven different RAGBRAIs in different parts of the state because it's a great way to see Iowa. You really get to see the variations in our topography and the different people and the communities. And I enjoy the exercise, but I enjoy the camaraderie of the journey that you're on in RAGBRAI. It's a lot of fun.
Well, one of the things that I've found, we've got 8,000 pools of poo right around the state. There's some investment that could be made there. How could you deal with that?
That's a serious issue in our state. Let me just give you one really small little thing. When I'm on RAGBRAI across the northern part of our state, that's where we have more of the confined animal feeding operations. So you know what? Every once in a while, you go by one, and they've surrounded the CAFO with trees. And so when you're riding your bike by on the roads or you're driving by, you don't hardly smell anything. But then you go by one where they haven't surrounded by trees, and you can smell a lot. There are little things that we could do that could make a difference for people who live in those communities as well as, you know, the passersby. But fundamentally, the issue is that industry has grown so fast that it's kind of outgrown the effectiveness of our master matrix, which is the system that governs where and how new ones can be built. And we have 20 or 30 counties somewhere in there that have actually filed formal protests with the Department of Natural Resources against the matrix. So what I'm suggesting that we need to do is, if I become governor, then on January 1 of 2019, I would appoint a blue ribbon commission with people from the livestock industry, people who represent boards of supervisors and local citizens, and have a blue ribbon commission, give them 90 days to come up with suggested legislation to address the environmental issues, to address the lack of local control, local input, and to fix the loopholes in the master matrix. I don't want to kill the industry, but I want to make sure all those other pieces are represented and properly dealt with, because they're not. And in 90 days, we should have legislation come out, and then we can take it to the legislature and try to move forward, because we need to bring the industry and everybody else back into more proper balance there.
If you're elected, then I assume your top priorities would be to deal with those things you've focused on.
Yes, sir.
Is there anything else that you would seek to deal with besides those things that seem to be on people's minds all the time?
Well, once you start privatization of Medicaid and get rid of that, so you put that back on a more stable, fair process, management for patients, the participants in Medicaid, and you attack the budget, budget and free up those giveaways. The long-term health of our state really depends upon investing in people. When we invest in education and we aspire to be number one in education again, we used to be recognized all across the country as one of the best in education. We're not there now. Iowans know it and other states know it. So it's harder to recruit jobs to our and people to move to our state than it used to be. So if we invest in education and aspire to be the best, that's going to take a while, but we can get there if we just commit to wanting to do that. Same thing in healthcare. Rather than being known now as the state that has the most extreme anti-women's healthcare law in the country, let's be known for having some of the best healthcare, including mental health care, in our country. If we do that, people will want to come to our state, you know, because they can't find that in too many states. So let's attract people based upon those things rather than just a lot of tax credits.
Well, speaking of attracting people to this state, I'm an immigrant. My parents came here looking for work, and yet some of the policies that I see now are very discouraging to immigration of any kind, whether it's from outside the country or outside the state.
You're right.
How would you deal with that?
Put it this way. I would have vetoed the Sanctuary Cities bill, because all that does is send the wrong message. We're not a welcoming community. We're not a welcoming state. We're not being inclusive. And Bob Ray, 1974, I think, started the idea that, look, we need more people in our state, and we need to be welcoming, and we should encourage not just immigrants, but people in general to move to Iowa and help us grow our state. And Tom Vilsack took the same approach. Ever since Governor Branstad came back in 2010, and now Governor Reynolds, they're just going the opposite direction. They talk about we need more people, and all the businesses say we need more people, but the legislature and the governor are going the opposite direction. They're discouraging people with Sanctuary Cities bill. They had a bill in there for a while for religious discrimination. That would do the same thing. This anti-women's health care bill sends the wrong message. We're not going to attract the jobs of the future and doctors to come to our state when we have that kind of legislation. We don't want to be known as extreme. We want to be known as welcoming.
It's our pleasure today to be talking with Mr. Fred Hubbell. Mr. Hubbell is running in the primary election to be held June 5th for the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Cal. I appreciate the chance to be here.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in.
You've been listening to Local Talk. We have been your hosts, Colin Berzak and Cal Halliburton. Thank you for listening. And these have been excerpts of Candidates with Cal, interviews with Iowa gubernatorial candidates running in tomorrow's June 5th primaries. Thanks to all the candidates for sharing their thoughts and opinions, and thanks to Cal for interviewing them. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also remember that you can also hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during this program. Also remember that KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you'd like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you the listener are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
Full versions of all of the interviews with candidates running in tomorrow's primary election, including candidates for the 4th Congressional District, Secretary of State, and Governor, can be heard online at khoifm.org. Go to the tab on the homepage that says Talk Programs and choose Candidates with Cal. Again, that's khoifm.org. Go to the tab on the homepage that says Talk Programs and choose Candidates with Cal.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. The Ames Main Street Farmers Market brings local food and fun every Saturday, located between the 300 and 400 blocks of Main Street, including Tom Evans Plaza. The farmers market brings fresh local fruits, veggies, meats, breads, handcrafted goods, live music, and family entertainment.